out, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Danny and Sunday have crashed. They've gone into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what you're speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two soft compounds.
Hello there, I'm Scott.
I'm Rick.
And we are the two soft compounds, and it's been a bit of a gap, hasn't it? Like a couple of weeks, it feels weird. We kind of got the first race, everyone got excited, like, yeah, Formula One's back. And then the race finishes, like, oh, now we've got a couple of weeks to wait till the next one. But the first of two, I think, Italian Grand Prix this time around. This one's got a weird name as well, isn't it? It's at Imola, and it's the, we were just talking about this just now. It's the, the Emilia Ragamana Grand Prix. Who's Emilia Ragamana?
Oh, remind me not to go to an Italian restaurant with you.
That's what it's like. I'm like, I'll have the Emilia Ragamana, please. Hold the sauce.
It's the Emilia Romagna GP.
Yeah. And that's why I go to restaurants with people like you, so you can order for me.
Yeah, that's why you just go to the lobster pot.
For me, chips.
So, it's Imola, which is a fantastic track steeped in history. I rewatched last year's race at this circuit, and it was a bit of a procession, to be fair, but a very close one in that Red Bull were really strong, and I would expect them to be really strong again this weekend.
Yeah, and we were just talking about this literally just now, where I think it was Martin Brundle that said it. He thinks that the Mercedes is a bit slower this year, not just down to the rake issue. He thinks they might have some other issues. And he obviously will be speaking to people in the paddock and stuff, and he will know. But that's interesting, I think, when you get someone like him who's talking to all the insiders, and it's kind of like, yeah, it might just not be the rake, you know, they might have some other issues as well. And, you know, we said last week or the week before, whenever it was, we last did one of these. It's good, isn't it, that the teams, because Mercedes are always strong. They win it and they're strong every year. It's nice to see a team like Mercedes have a bit of a wobble at the start of the year. And then you're kind of looking, going, well, okay, Red Bull right in it then if Mercedes are wobbling. And, you know, there's three or four teams sort of underneath those two that are really strong this year as well. So it just makes for a good Grand Prix season, really. But I'm quite excited to see, like you say, Red Bull very strong last year. I think they're going to do good again. I think there's a few tracks this year where Red Bull are going to be really dominant. And I'm excited because it will sway a bit, won't it? It will go from Mercedes back to Red Bull, and it will be a lot more of a level playing field, I think, this year.
Yeah, the race after this one is Portugal, which, again, was a strong track for Red Bull last year. So if they've narrowed the gap between Mercedes, which we all think they have over the winter, then, yeah, it's going to be closer. We're going to get different set of drivers on the podium each weekend, and that makes it really exciting. I think after the opening race, there were a couple of question marks for me. The Alpine team just didn't seem to deliver, and definitely Fernando Alonso overdrove the car. What I mean by that is that he got more out of the car than he should have done because he was so skillful in the way he was driving it round. But Alpine have got apparently a flood of changes coming for this Grand Prix this weekend. So they've identified problems and sort of fixed them in 3 weeks. And they reckon that they're putting new things on the car. It's going to make them a lot faster and a lot more reliable. And the other team that really shocked me in the fact that their pace was so poor was, of course, the Aston Martin team, because the old Racing Point was challenging for podiums at most races last year. And this time it seemed really off the mark.
Yeah, I mean, last year it was known as the Pink Mercedes, wasn't it? So you've got to assume that an awful lot on that car is very similar to the Mercedes. And again, going back to the point I just made, if it isn't just the rake issue, if there are other issues that Mercedes have found with the slight rule tweaks this year and they've just not got on top of it like the other teams have, then you would assume that Aston Martin will be in exactly the same boat, which is, again, very interesting. I think both teams will get a lot stronger as the year goes on because that's what they do. I mean, Red Bull traditionally have kind of started a bit weak, haven't they, for the last two seasons, and they've got better as the year's gone on, but that's not good enough, is it? You need to hit the ground running, and it looks like this year could be the first year that Red Bull are kind of up there from the start of the season, which is great. That's what I was saying earlier about, you know, to and fro between Red Bull and Mercedes. But I do think, I agree, I'm surprised that the Aston Martin was so slow. I do think they're going to get back up there, though, in a kind of three or four races maximum, I would have thought. But good to see a nice open midfield as well.
And we've got to talk about mentality as well. You know, boring Bottas, didn't have a great first race in terms of his overall pace. Once again, he was failing to close the gap with the cars in front. Again, it was kind of blamed that he had some floor damage. And we've heard that nearly every race where he's weak, he's got some sort of damage, which is affecting his stability. And the other one is Sebastian Vettel, who had a nightmare opening race, didn't he? With the penalty and then the spin and all that stuff. He's got to put that behind him and almost start this weekend, or treat this weekend as the start of the season.
Yeah, and of course, Aston Martin have announced that they've signed Nico Hülkenberg as their kind of reserve driver as well. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, that's going to put some extra pressure on Vettel because he's now looking over his shoulder thinking, right, well, if I don't do great here, you know, I can't see a scenario personally where Aston Martin would even consider getting rid of somebody like Vettel mid-season for a Hülkenberg, you know. But then having said that, that's kind of what Red Bull have done for the last couple of seasons, haven't they? They've very quickly kind of gone, yeah, this driver's not up to it. Quick, get him out, change him. Albeit they've not been the quality of a Vettel, but that has happened. So that's going to add the pressure onto Vettel, isn't it? And if Vettel is outdriven and outshone by Stroll, you know, he's going to start losing more of his confidence. And off the back of his run with Ferrari, that's not going to be a good thing for him. You know, a lot of people are saying he's in the best car at the right time with the Red Bull. Is he as good a driver as we think he is? He's a four-time world champion. You know, you don't get four world championships by accident. You know, and he was still driving a Red Bull alongside Mark Webber and people like that. You know, so he still had some very good drivers in the other car. But, you know, a lot of people are saying he was purely there because of that car. I don't know. Is he getting shown up a bit or is it just a confidence thing? I personally think he needs a couple of good races, a couple of good qualifyings, a couple of good races, a couple of good, you know, positions when he ends the race. And I think his confidence will come back a bit personally.
Yeah, I hope so. There's lots of speculation on the fans' forums, which are very biased because it's mainly, you know, you get a Hamilton fan going up against a Max fan and they slag each other off till kingdom come. But a lot of speculation on those forums about Vettel not seeing out the entire season with the Aston Martin team, which, you know, the fans don't know or have inside knowledge. But a lot of speculation, a lot of people saying that they think he's too weak to take part at the highest level anymore and they think the best days are behind him. And I suppose, you know, in terms of winning championships, that's probably true.
Yeah, and I mean, what's he, 32, 33, somewhere around there, isn't he? I think the only other thing I can think of is, you know, is he in that zone where he's had a couple of kids now, he very much enjoys his family life, he loves his kids, he loves his wife, and he's thinking, yeah, I've got more money than I ever need, I've got four world championships, I'm already cemented into legacy in terms of the history books. You know, do I need to be doing this every day? Do I need to be driving these cars? And there's two thought brands. He's either losing a bit of that and losing a bit of the drive for it, or he's got older, had kids, and he's nervous. You know, sometimes you hear this where a driver has kids and they all of a sudden realize they're mortal and they get nervous and they don't want to be driving these cars at such crazy speeds. And it does happen. You know, and same with Rosberg. You know, Rosberg retiring, I thought was completely out of the blue, but it felt like it was tied in with the fact he'd had a kid. And he was very content at home, had more money than he needed, had a lot of investments going on outside of racing and stuff. He's obviously got the racing team now in that new series that Jensen Button's in as well. And Lewis Hamilton's got a team, hasn't he? But he's obviously invested in that as well. So he's still involved in racing. And it is interesting how the mindset changes for those drivers.
Yeah, definitely. I can relate to that, actually. I used to, when I was doing the 24-hour pro kart events, we used to do two a year. And I was always consistent, pretty good driver. I'm not putting myself in the same bracket as someone like Sebastian Vettel, obviously. But we used to go out to the Middle East and do these races at the start of the year and at the end of the year in the cooler climate. And I was always on point. I was always, out of a team of six drivers, I was probably in the top three of those drivers and always good. And then I had my son in 2005, went back to do another race, and I was completely off point. The confidence had gone, and I think it's because you get a sense of your own mortality when you know that you've got an extra mouth to feed and a son to bring up, and that must affect the drivers. I'm in awe, actually, of people like Sergio Perez, who's got a couple of kids and still goes out and nails it on the limit every single weekend.
Yeah, it is interesting, and it's just, you know, the mind games in Formula One. We spoke about it before. Rosberg is a great example, again, where he played a few mind games against Hamilton, and a lot of people saying that he kind of beat him mentally, which is how he won his world championship in 2016. That whole mind game thing kind of, it does work like that, and it does affect these drivers, and whether it be for kids or, you know, whether they have a really rubbish season and they're just not on the pace and their teammate is annihilating them. And I think that's what's happened a little bit with the previous Red Bull drivers. You know, they've all kind of come in and they've realised they're in the Red Bull. They've realised this is their moment. Then they, you know, have a couple of scrappy qualifyings and then they start overdriving the car and then they have a couple of offs and they have some, you know, DNFs and it builds up, doesn't it? And the pressure builds up on them and it gets them a little bit. I heard a story, and again, this is you know, a tabloid kind of story. So whether this is true or not, I don't know. And it's, you know, take it with a pinch of salt because it comes from the newspapers type story. But there's a story going around that Lewis hasn't spoken to George Russell since the Grand Prix last year where George Russell drove the Mercedes car. And the story is that Lewis is a bit livid that he was so good in the car and hasn't spoken a word to him since, which I don't know if I believe that. But if it is true, again, it's all the mental games, isn't it? Of, well, actually, there's a guy out there that's just as good as me and he's a lot younger.
Did you see the Zak Brown interview in the Daily Mail? He said that Lewis has only signed a year's contract. He said the plan, he thinks, is that Lewis is going to try and win an eighth world championship. And then next year, the Mercedes lineup is going to be Max Verstappen and George Russell. So Bottas will just be dropped. And Hamilton will either take a year out or go to another team for the challenge that we think he might want. And that Verstappen, who's out of contract at the end of this year, will join George Russell in the Mercedes. And that would be so, so interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what a lineup that would be. Because again, you got two young, hungry drivers, no kids. So they've not got that element in their lives. You know, they are literally going to win their world title and they're both potential future multi-time world champions. That would be an incredible lineup. I think the irony of that for me would be if you had Max Verstappen and George Russell in the Mercedes next year with the rule changes, and for some reason, with the rule changes, the Mercedes is just not very quick. That would be the irony for me, where those two amazing drivers go to that team and then the team is not great next year, because then we won't get to see that battle, because you've got to assume they're going to be up there, Mercedes, because they, you know, they've done so well the last seven seasons. But what an incredible lineup. It's, I love the idea of a lineup like that, like two young, hungry drivers. It reminds me of, you know, the Senna Prost and all that, where you had that real inter-rivalry in the teams, and I love all that.
Well, I think Russell proved, didn't he, in Bahrain last year, that if he's given the correct car and the correct equipment, he could be, you know, really on the pace and up there fighting for the lead and the wins of races. Also, James Allison, the technical director for Mercedes, is stepping back from his role this July, which I find remarkable, really. I mean, you could say, all right, I'm going to step back from the role at the end of the season, but halfway through the season just doesn't seem right to me. So I wonder if there's been any pressure on James Allison in terms of the way the Mercedes has come out of the traps at the start of this season, and he's kind of gone, you know what, I've done my best, I can't do any more, I'm going to take a step back. Because he's quoted as saying he's had a great 4.5 years at the leading edge of the Mercedes team, and now he's taken a step back, some other guy's coming in to replace him, and he's going to take more of a general overlook role at Mercedes. It seems a bit weird.
Yeah, it does seem like there's a lot of internal politics in the Mercedes team. I know they hide it very well, and I think Toto is a great boss in terms of, he rallies the team together and he makes sure that no one feels blamed for stuff. And it's, you know, we win and lose together as a team. And he's very good at that, Toto Wolff. But I feel like there's a lot of internal politics. I wouldn't use the word jealousy, but I think there's a lot of, you know, I want that job. And there's a lot of fighting internally that goes on. And I think they cover that up very well. But yeah, it sounds like you say, very strange time to step down mid-season. So it sounds like there is a bit more of a backstory to that.
Right, well, let's get some stats and some information on the Imola race this coming weekend. It's with Nicky, who's our stat man and never lets us down with fascinating facts and statistics from his At Lights Out column, which you can follow on Twitter. Just search for At Lights Out. He updates constantly across the race weekend. He has votes and polls and all kinds of interesting stuff. If you're into F1, you need to follow him. Here he is with a preview of this weekend's action.
As Formula One returns from its 3-week break, Bottas has a Finnish curse to overcome, and Alonso makes his 100th start in car number 14. Here are the top statistics ahead of the 2021 Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix weekend. The 2021 Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix takes place 3 weeks after the season-opening Bahrain Grand Prix. It makes the 2021 F1 season the first since 2007 to feature a 3-week gap between the first two races of the year. Aside from summer breaks, the last time there was a 3-week gap between two races on the calendar was between the 2015 British and Hungarian Grand Prix. Another weekend, another record on offer for Lewis Hamilton. Should Hamilton remain in the lead of the Drivers' Championship after the Imola race, he'd equal Michael Schumacher as the driver to have led the championship on the most occasions. Schumacher led the title race after 121 Grand Prix during his career, a number which Hamilton will equal if he leads after this weekend's race. Meanwhile, a win for Hamilton would mark the 19th time that a driver has won the first two races of the season, It'd be the first time it's happened since Sebastian Vettel won the 2018 Australian and Bahrain Grand Prix. If Valtteri Bottas wants to overturn Hamilton's championship lead this weekend, he'll have to overcome an unusual finish curse first. There have been 100 Grand Prix held in Italy since 1950, but none of them have been won by a Finnish driver. Bottas started from pole at Imola last year, but could finish only second. If either Finn on the grid leads a lap of the race, the nation will become the fifth to have had a driver lead in at least 200 F1 races. Fernando Alonso makes his 100th race start in car number 14 at the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix. He becomes the 17th driver to start 100 races with the same car number. It's a feat which has become much easier since drivers began choosing a single number for their entire career from 2014 onwards. Before 2014, only four drivers made more than 100 starts with a single car number: Jacques Lafitte, Ricardo Patrese, Gerhard Berger and Michael Schumacher. Romain Grosjean holds the record for the most starts with a single number, having made 162 appearances in car number 8. And finally, this weekend's race will be the third F1 event to be held on the 18th of April, after the 1971 Spanish Grand Prix and the 2010 Chinese Grand Prix. Both previous races on this day were won by a British world champion who started from outside the top three on the grid. McLaren are the only team to record multiple podium finishes on this day, with Jenson Button and Lewis Hamilton's 1-2 result in China in 2010 being the first 1-2 result for two English drivers since the 1969 Monaco Grand Prix. If two British drivers finish on the podium this weekend, the nation will become the first to record 700 top three finishes in Formula One.
Thank you, Nicky. He, of course, you can follow him all over the race weekends. As Rick said, at Lights Out is where you can find him on Twitter. An amazing blog and just some brilliant stats and facts over the weekend. I always see him tweet stuff and I'm like, really? I didn't know that. And I always delve in and get into like a little rabbit hole of all his stats, but he knows some unbelievable stuff. But yeah, so very exciting. 3 week gap between the last Grand Prix and this one. So we're back this weekend. I've got a funny feeling that Red Bull are going to do very well this weekend. And I think over the season, I think what's going to happen in my mind is that Hamilton will always be pretty much up there. But I think Max is going to win a lot more races. And I think Sergio Perez is going to come second and third a lot more, to the point where I think Sergio could kind of replace Bottas in most of the podiums, in which case giving Red Bull a lot more points. And Red Bull could win the title this year, I think, if it carries on like this.
Yeah, you know what? I was just looking at the results from Bahrain in the opening race of the weekend, and you think that Perez started from the pit lane after having a technical problem on the parade lap. You know, he finished fifth. He came right up through the field. It was a really strong drive. And you can't discount the McLarens either. Lando Norris finishing fourth and Daniel Ricciardo finishing in seventh place. And, of course, the Ferraris as well. They were kind of much improved based on last year's season. So Charles Leclerc came home in sixth and Carlos Sainz in eighth. They've obviously going to be in the mix there as well. And I think they're going to be up against McLaren, really, for the third best team this year, aren't they?
Yeah, and like you say, it's good to sort of see some of these teams getting their stuff together and sorting it out and coming in much, much stronger. And it's good also to see the teams that were great last year and that have been brilliant over the last few years kind of take their edge off a little bit, because it just levels it out so much. It literally, we are now standing here and I think Red Bull will have a great weekend. But other than that, I'm struggling to predict, like you say, it could be literally, the podium could be bizarre this weekend. It could be a Max win. And you might have a Hamilton second or third, but, you know, Sergio Perez could be on there. You could have, like you say, Lando could be there, Ricardo. There's so many drivers that could be on that podium this weekend. And I love that.
Yeah, and the one driver that really excited me from the opening weekend, especially in qualifying, was Yuki Tsunoda in the AlphaTauri. I mean, he finished the opening race in ninth, but his pace during qualifying and the way he throws the car into corners like he's in a go-kart, just really exciting. And I think he could be a factor in this year's championship. Maybe not up at the top, but I think I wouldn't rule out podiums for him or Pierre Gasly. I think they've got a strong car based on the Red Bull platform. I think they're going to do really well.
Yeah, it's looking good, the AlphaTauri. And like you say, he's 5'2", 5'3", I think. So they can really build that car around him because he's going to weigh next to nothing. I've had postage stamps that probably weigh more than him if he's 5 foot two. But because he's such a small package, I think Felipe Massa was 5 foot four, and he's the smallest I can remember for a long time. So this guy must be the shortest F1 driver for a long, long time. But yeah, if you're 5'2", 5'3", you can build a car and a seat around that guy to get the center of gravity in a great place. So that car's going to drive really well with him.
Yes, we mentioned the Alpine team. They need to make an improvement, and they've obviously brought new parts for this weekend's race. The Haas looks almost undrivable, although Mick Schumacher managed to finish in 16th place. Mazepin, well, is he going to get round the first lap at this weekend's Imola Grand Prix? I tweeted just before the race started in Bahrain, how many people will he take out in turn one? And he didn't, but he did take himself out. But the Haas car, we know, is not going to be developed this year. So those guys, those rookies, have got to get used to that car pretty quick, smart, because they're going to be stuck with the same equipment basically for the rest of the season. And Mazepin just doesn't seem, in Formula 2, he was known for taking drivers out. He was known for making erratic moves on track. He just baffles me a little bit in the moment.
I feel like something we're going to see this year is some of your Bottas beef transferring onto Mazepin, and I think there's going to be some Mazepin beef that slowly comes off Bottas. But no, I agree. Let's see what happens this weekend. But you know, like famous, like you say, for taking people out and for crashes, and it's not a great thing to be famous for if you're a racing driver, is it? But I'm going for a Max win this weekend. I think Max Verstappen to win. I'm going to say Hamilton second, and for me, Sergio Perez third.
Dr. Mike, who listens to our podcast each week, keeps a note on how many of our predictions we've got right. And so far, in three seasons of the podcast, we haven't got it right once. But I'm with you. I think Max can win it. I think Lewis will be up there. Bottas, never quite sure with him. Perez, definitely a shout. And maybe even a McLaren somewhere in the mix for a podium place as well. We started talking about food with your terrible Italian pronunciations, and we finished talking about beef marzipan.
Sounds nice. I'll take a dish.
Enjoy the race weekend. A reminder, qualifying has been moved an hour earlier, so we'll start at 1 p.m. in the UK. It's so they can get it out of the way and be able to pay their respects to the Duke of Edinburgh, whose funeral starts at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the weekend. We'll be back this time next week to review the Grand Prix of Imola.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.